Well, welcome this morning to the poetry show. We'll continue with that little tune in a second. That's an introduction to our program here. I know we're officially starting at 7, but we have a 3-minute intro here. Anyway, I'm going to play this song by Joni Mitchell, although it's her interpretation of the famous poem by William Butler Yeats called The Second Coming, which almost everybody has heard either all or part of sometime during their life. One of the most famous and haunting poems of the 20th century, although there's a lot. Anyway, Joni Mitchell did an interpretation of this song. I don't know how long ago, fairly a little bit later in her career. I can't remember when she did it, but she did good at it. A lot of people had attempted. I think entire novels have been written on the theme of the Yeats poem, The Second Coming. Nonetheless, she did an admirable job of trying to put to music and song the themes in that poem. And I'm going to play the song, but my goal, my hope, is to see how it compares to the actual original poem. So I'm going to play the song and then read Yeats's poem. I think there's a recording of Yeats himself reading it, and it's interesting because Yeats has a kind of musical voice, but the recording is so ancient and old that I don't think it comes through that well. So I'll debate whether I'm going to read it or play his reading of it after we listen to Joni. Anyway, welcome this morning to the poetry show. Let me tip my hat to the founder of this show, which is Janet Harrison. I don't know whether she's listening this morning or not, but anyway, I'm picking some poems that she introduced and poets that she introduced me to, although not Yeats. I knew about Yeats before. We're going to be considering some poems by Afa Michael Weaver today. Very interesting African-American poet. And also another volume that I'll testify by Douglas Manuel. I'm also going to read a few things from him. Another poet that Janet introduced me to. She sends me poetry books too. She's, you know, unbelievable. Anyway, that's what I'm going to do. So, will there be any other? I don't know. I have a couple of other things I might get to. Depends on how it goes. And we'll try to pick some tunes for you to reflect upon in between that attempt to help extract reactions to the poem sometimes. Well, we'll give it a try. Anyway, so here is Slouching Towards Bethlehem. You know, a part of the last line of the Second Coming poem. All right, let's listen to Joni's version.
Blood dimmed tide is loosed upon the world. thing is sacred. The ceremony sings. Innocence is drowned in anarchy. The best like conviction, given some time. They're full of passion without mercy. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely it's a second coming and the wrath has finally taken form. For what is this rough beast? It's our come at last. Sludging towards Bethlehem to be born. Sludging towards Bethlehem to be born. Amen. To be born.
Well, and welcome to the Poetry Show. Well, that was here on Enlightened Radio, www.enlightenradio.org. My name is John Case, and I'm the president of this. It was a very small enterprise. Anyway, we're broadcasting here today from the Red Caboose Studio in Bolivar, West Virginia. 25425 if you want to send email to the post office. Welcome. So I'm going to read the poem from which that song quotes. It doesn't do the whole poem, it does parts of it. But it does try to capture the feeling of the poem. So let's give it a shot here, the real one. The Second Coming by William Butler Yeats. Turning and turning in the widening gyre. The falcon cannot hear the falconer, and things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. A blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming. Hardly are those words out when a vast image out of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere in the sands of the desert, a shape with a lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as a sun, is moving its slow thighs while all about it reel shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again. But now I know the 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to a nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast, its hour come around at last, slouches toward Bethlehem to be born. All right, so we're gonna, we'll give another interpretation of that little tune here, that little song here, with this little ditty.
John Henry was driving on the right side. Steam grill was driving on the left. John said, "Before I let the steam grill beat me down, I will hammer my poor self to death. I will hammer my poor self to death. Yes, I will." John Henry was having on top of the mountain. Captain said, "John, you know that old mountain sinking in." John said, "Shut up, Captain, you don't know what you're saying. that ain't nothing but my hammer sucking wind. Well, nothing, nothing but my hammer sucking wind. Well, nothing but my hammer sucking wind. Well, nothing but my hammer sucking wind. Yes, it was. John Henry had a little bit of woman. Her name was Polly Ann. John Henry got sick, then he had to go to bed. No, Polly, she grew still like a man. Polly, she grew still like a man. Well, old Polly, she grew still like a man. Polly, she grew still like a man. Oh, Polly grew like this, you know.
Well, that was Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee on John Henry. And I figured that was, we thinking about what rough beast is slouching toward Bethlehem to be born. I like to think of it as the working class. That's just my commie politics. But yeah, before going anywhere near there, I was going to introduce the poet I want to feature today, Afaa Michael Weaver. And his first name, A-F-A-A, not quite sure. Let's read a little bit about him here first. Born in 1951, a resident of Connecticut right now. Born Michael S. Weaver and in Baltimore, Maryland in 1951. The son of working-class parents, he attended public schools and graduated as a national merit finalist at the age of 16. After those of you who remember the National Merit Scholarships, I don't know if they still do those. after 2 years at the University of Maryland, he took a factory job alongside his father and uncles and remained a factory worker for 15 years. I didn't say which factory he worked in, but anyway, during this period, he wrote and published poetry, short fiction, and freelance journalism. Also founded the Seventh Son Press and Blind Alleys, a literary journal. Weaver's first book of poetry called The Water Song was published in 1985. And 6 months after signing the contract, he received a fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts and left the factory to attend Brown University's graduate writing program on a full university fellowship. He later received an MA in theater and playwriting at Brown while simultaneously completing a BA in literature at Excelsior College. A gifted student, as you can tell. No question about it. Anyway, he took the name Afa in 1997 after the death of his first child, the name given to him by the Nigerian playwright Tess Onwunimi. I don't know if I pronounced that way. It's an Igbo word meaning oracle. And he's received numerous awards, and he retired from, he spent a long time at Simmons College, and retired from there, and is a member of the core faculty in the Drew University MFA program in poetry and translation, which is in New Jersey, but somehow he lives in West Cornwall, Connecticut. So anyway, that's a little bit about the background of Afa Michael Weaver. And now I'm going to do a poem about Elizabeth. It's called What Elizabeth Bishop Could Not Know. Now, Elizabeth Bishop is a another poet. And I think she's the one that did the poem out of Barack Obama's. Yeah, let's see. Painter and poet. Right. Okay. Yeah, let's see. Elizabeth Bishop. Oh, it's a different person. Elizabeth Bishop was born in 1911. Anyway, it's she's a poet, 1911 to 1979. Let's see what Michael Weaver has to say about what Elizabeth Bishop did not know or could not know. Black women keep secrets tied up in hankies. Elizabeth Bishop was not black. They stop in their bras, secrets of how their necks are connected to their spines in the precise gyration of a jelly sweetened in nights they had to keep to themselves. Night prowlers came in to change the faces of their children. Secrets like the good Gugamonga. Laughter they do with each other when something affirms their suspicions. When their eyes are made the prayer books of fate, crafted in the wisdom that knows there is no north or south in black wandering, searching the new land. A song they wrestle from black men, the broken ones who had to be shown where and how to stand, how to respect pain and the way it governs itself. Secrets. Things made out of generations and not kept in the glass selections of an old jukebox. Now, that's a fairly complicated poem, but I'm going to try it again because, you know, poems take sometimes a second reading to sink in. maybe we should do an Elizabeth Bishop poem just while we're, let's just do one so you get an idea of, what he's talking about. Okay, so let's do this little step by step. The Armadillo by Elizabeth Bishop, and a poem written for Robert Lowell, another famous American poet from Massachusetts. This is the time of year when almost every night the frail, illegal fire balloons appear, climbing the mountain height, rising toward a saint, still honored in these parts. The paper chambers flush and fill with light that comes and goes like hearts. Once up against the sky, it's hard to tell them from the stars. Planets, that is, the tinted ones, Venus going down or Mars. Or the pale green one. With a wind, they flare and falter wobble and toss. But if it's still, they steer between the kite sticks of the Southern Cross. Receding, dwindling, solemnly and steadily forsaking us, or in the downdraft from a peak, suddenly turning dangerous. Last night, another big one fell. It splattered like an egg of fire against the cliff behind the house. The flame ran down. We saw the pair of owls who nest there flying up and up. They're whirling black and white, stained bright pink underneath until they shrieked up out of sight. The ancient owl's nest must have burned hastily all alone. A glistening armadillo left the scene, rose-flecked, head down, tail down. And then a baby rabbit jumped out, short-eared. To our surprise, so soft, a handful of intangible ash. Intangible ash, with fixed, ignited eyes. Too pretty, dreamlike mimicry, oh, falling fire and piercing cry, and panic and a tweak mailed fist clenched ignorant against the sky. Well, the armadillo. So that's Elizabeth Bishop. And let's try again with what Elizabeth Bishop could not know. Black women keep secrets tied up in hankies. They stuff in their bras. Secrets of how their necks are connected to their spines in the precise gyration of a jelly sweetened in nights they had to keep to themselves. Nights prowlers came in to change the faces of their children. Secrets like the good Google Mooga laughter they do with each other when something affirms their suspicions. When their eyes are made the prayer books of fate, crafted in the wisdom that knows there is no north nor south in black wandering, searching the new land, a song they wrestle from black men, the broken ones who had to be shown where and how to stand, how to respect pain and the way it governs itself. Secrets, things made out of generations and not kept in the glass selections of an old jukebox. Well, anyway, that's a little introduction to Michael Weber. We'll come back to another poem of his. But first, we're going to hear let's see what is on the agenda here. It's we're going to hear another kind of poem in a sense. It's a famous piece by Mark Twain called The War Prayer. Although I think I don't want to play it. I want to do something else first. And you need to think about upon Michael Weber first. Let's change the plan here a little bit. And let's...
I think now, babe, we should have a little talk. Before before I pack up my things and walk. Ashes to ashes, and it's dust to dust. If I got someone I can't trust, I'd rather drink muddy water. I know now, girl, you found some other stuff. I can't see why you can't get enough. I know your kisses, they are sweet as can be. Before I let you give away what belongs to me, I'd rather drink muddy water, babe. Sleep in a hollow long. You know the blues ain't nothing, people, but a good woman on your mind. You know the blues ain't nothing but a good woman on your mind. You better take my advice now, boys. Good women are hard to find. Yes, they are. Yeah, you got you a good woman. Take her everywhere you go. You got you a good woman now. Take her everywhere you go. If you lose what you got, you may not get it back no more. Well, there's one thing, little girl, that Brownie can't understand. Why you're not satisfied with just one man. I know a dollar's made to go from hand to hand. Before I'd let you run from man to man, I'd rather drink muddy water, baby. Sleep in a hollow log.
Yeah, so welcome back. I figured drink muddy water for a minute. Think about the father, Michael Weaver. We're going to go back and check out a different poem this time. This one's called Climbing China's Great Wall. Father Michael Weaver, among his many other interests, is a Chinese language enthusiast and has, you know, spent quite a bit of time mastering Chinese. So he had a curiosity, obviously he visited there, and he's been wrote a poem about climbing China's Great Wall. So let's give this one a try. This wall is a great stairway. Walls are things that shoot up, keep out, line the places where we mark the halls that carry our names. Line the places where we mark the halls that carry our names. The busts of this one and that one, the history is in the hard labor of hearts. Thrust a piston and bow. I sit down at the first house, dizzy at the view over the wall, the tourist town below us. In buildings made old by the deliberate hand of business, not the rain, the sun, the untold billions of raindrops and teardrops of soldiers wishing for the lepers they left behind, unintended and untended crops, mothers weaving braids of grief in their hair. A little woman bounces past me, leaping the brief weld of stone to stone. The stairs, the legend and skeleton of the wall, where white cranes dance in pairs. Let's try that one again. The wall is a great stairway. Walls are things that stood up, keep out, line the places where we mark the halls that carry our names. The busts of this one and that one. This history in the land of hard labor of hearts. Thrusts of piston and vow. I sit down at the first house, dizzy at the view over the wall, the tourist town below us, in buildings made old by the deliberate hand of business, not the rain or the sun. The untold billions of raindrops and teardrops of soldiers wishing for the lovers they left behind. Unintended and untended crops. A mother weaving braids of grief in their hair. A little old woman bounces past me, leaping the brief weld of stone to stone. The stairs, the legend and skeleton of the wall, where white cranes dance in pairs.
When I was young, I stayed out late, raising hell across the state. Parents thought I might get caught, I'd never last my teens. Met some cops and had some scrapes, learned the ropes and made mistakes. My parents spared the lion's share of adolescent schemes. I wasn't smart, but I wised up soon enough. Got my start and got sized up soon enough. The folly of my youth was through soon enough. Experience and wisdom grew soon, soon, soon enough. Defying them prepared me well. Missed lots of school, but what the hell? When trouble came, they knew the game, confronting me as one. I fed up about that boy of yours. He goes to church and does his chores. A little wrong will make him strong. Your problem's not your son. He isn't lost, he'll be gone soon enough. Daddy crossed be the man soon enough. Put down the phone, you'll be back home soon enough. You've got to learn, he shall return soon, soon, soon enough. All dressed up, nowhere to go. But there's a lot that you don't know. Fool that 40 turns out shortly. Foolish all his life. There's more in life than you can lose. You ought to think you need to choose. These things cascade, don't let love fade. Try cherishing your wife. She's still at home, she'll be gone soon enough. Come back home, she'll be gone soon enough. She'll come across, attached to the train soon enough. She'll find the strength to make a change soon, soon, soon enough. I can't find my dear life's love. An angel sent from up above. I miss her so, where did she go? How can you say I'm wrong? Clarity starts at home, you know. Keep love clear and it will grow. Let her come in, her affection's been ignored for way too long. God forbid you find the kid soon enough. Don't be naive, your love might leave soon enough. it's a fact. I hope you laugh soon enough. Won't be polite, you'll see I'm right soon.
Soon enough, an elegy of sorts by Bruce Hornsby for his children, I think. And I want to talk about another poet that Janet Harrison introduced me to and gave me a great book called, the book's called Testify. And as let me read what one commentator, I think this is a commentator on the author's actual homepage, so it must be something he kind of agrees with or likes. Testify, a book of elegiac, yeah, ambivalence. Now, I guess that means ambivalence about death. Elegy is a poem. Usually about a person that just died or at least died sometime in the past. Not too many elegies written about the living. I suppose you could if you wanted to. But anyway, Testify, the book, a speaker often finds himself trapped between receiving binaries, you know, black and white, ghetto, suburban, atheism, Catholicism. In many ways, this work details the maturation of a black man raised in a crack-laden 1980s. I don't know. Is that a good way to describe the 80s? With hip-hop, jazz, and blues as its soundtrack. He renders it with keen attention to the economic decline of the Midwest due to the departure of the automotive industry and a number of supplying industries as well toward, you know, cheap labor, multinational stuff. The book portrays the speaker wrestling with his city's demise, family relationships, interracial love, and notions of black masculinity, never telling anyone, including the speaker, or letting them off the hook. It moves away from sentimentality or anything that's didactic and dwells in a space of uncertainty, where meaning and identity are messy, complicated, and multivalent. I guess that means multi-sided, whatever. Well, that's just real life. Anyway, let's Douglas, he was born in Anderson, Indiana, now lives in Whittier. He's got a lot of different degrees in the past from different schools where he went to. He's traveled to Egypt and Eritrea. Published a couple of collections of poetry and is now an assistant professor of English at Whittier College. And also teaches at Spalding University's low res, you know, don't have to be there all the time, MFA program, where Janet attended and got a degree. That's where she found out about this guy's poetry. So let's give it a chance. Now, this is a little bit longer poem. But we're going to take our time with it. It's called To My Daughters. It's untitled, and it's called To My Daughters, I Need to Say. Go with the one who loves you biblically, the one whose love lifts its head to you despite its broken neck, whose body bursts 16 arms electric to carry you, gentle the way old grief is gentle. Love the love that is messy in all its too much. The body that rides best your body, whose mouth saddles the naked salt of your far gone hips, whose tongue translates the rock language of all your elegant scars. Go with the one who cries out for her tragic sisters as she chops the winter's wood. The one whose skin triggers your heart into a heaven of blood waltzes. I like that. A heaven of blood waltzes. Go with the one who resembles most your father. Not the father you can point out on a map, but the father who is here in your home, is the key to your front door. Know that your first love will only be the first, and the second and third and even fourth will unprepare you for the most important. The blessed, the beast, the last love, which is, of course, the most terrifying kind, because which of us wants to go with what can murder us? With what can reveal to us our true heart's end and its 30 years spent in poverty, that can mimic the sound of our bird-throated mothers, can replicate the warmth of our brothers' tempers, can pull us out of ourselves until we are no longer sisters or daughters or sword swallowers, but instead, women who give and lead and take and want and want and want and want, because there is no shame in wanting. And you will hear yourself say, last love, I wish to die so I may come back to you, new and never tasted by any other mouth but yours. I want to be the hands that pull your children out of you and tuck them deep inside myself until they are ready to be the children of such a royal and staggering love. Or you will say, last love, I am old and I have spent myself on the courageless, have wasted too many clocks on less deserving men. So I hurl myself at the throne of you and lie humbly at your feet. Last love, let me never roll out of this heavy dream of you. Let the day I was born mean my life will end where you end. Let the man behind the church do what he did if it brings me to you. Let the girls in the locker room corner me again if it brings me to you. Let this wild depression throw me beneath its hooves if it brings me to you. Let me pronounce my hoarded joy if it brings me to you. Let my father break me again and again if it brings me to you. Last love. I have let other men borrow your children. Forgive me, last love. I once vowed my heart to another. Forgive me. Last love, I have my blind and anxious hands to wander into a room and come out empty. Forgive me. Last love, I have cursed the women you loved before me. Forgive me. Last love, I envy your mother's body where you resided first. Forgive me, last love, I am all that is left. Forgive me. Last love, I did not see you coming. Forgive me. Last love, every day without you was a life I crawled out of. Amen, last love, you are my last love. Amen. Last love, I am all that is left. Amen. I am all that is left. Amen. Anyway, that's an example of Douglas Manuel's poetry. I thought it was different voice. Very interesting. Anyway, let's do a little review of Woody Guthrie here that Jackson Browne does in trying to capture in song a love letter that Woody wrote to his wife. So let's listen to Jackson do that. I think that fits in here.
Here's a song about the night he met his wife Marjorie. It's called You Know the Night.
You know the night I met you, my eyes have been looking for you. All over, everywhere, over low roads, down highways, bald deserts. You know the night.
You know the night.
You know the night.
You know the night.
Your eyes have the same shine about them I noticed when I first looked through the wild waywardness. I felt such warmth from the cool sunny smile that I wanted to look in your eyes for all time. I just felt like you feel like you feel when you feel like the angels are curling your hair and you feel like the devil is scratching your heel. I just felt like you feel when the angels are curling your hair and you feel like the devil is scratching your heel. Did you feel this way too when I met you? You know the night.
You know the night.
I first met you.
You know the night.
Did you look at me and think, here's this guy that hopes like I hope and sees the same kind of dreams I see? Cause you wondered, I know, if your hopes could find shape and the words that we used that work back the fog. Your hopes and your plans for the good of the people, but all of your 101 dreams just as bright as the sun, and all of your wants and your hottest desires find shape in the flow of my talk. You know the night.
You know the night.
I first met you.
You know the night.
You know the night.
You know the night.
You know the night I met you. My eyes have been looking for you. All over, everywhere, over the road, down highway, bald deserts. And I felt like you feel when you feel that the angels are curling your hair, and you feel like the devil is scratching your heel. I just felt like you feel when you feel like the angels are curling your hair, the devil is scratching your heel. You know the night.
You know the night. You know the night.
You know the night.
You know the night. You know the night I met you.
You know the night.
You know the night.
Well, that was the Jackson Browne's tribute to Woody Guthrie's love letter to his wife, Marjorie. I think that was performed at the 100th anniversary of Woody Guthrie's birth, taking place in, I think, an event in Oklahoma. Actually, the original song, I believe, has more words than that, but that's a shorter version that was released. Well, this brings us pretty much to the end of our program. And I do want to end, though, however, with one more little tidbit here from this time, a return to last week's sort of special, which is Louis Jenkins. And one of his earliest works called An Almost Human Gesture. And I want to close with this one because I love this particular prose poem. It's just, you might get the impression of ambivalence and, you know, deep problems from the poems we read today, even though I thought they were fascinating. But this one is called In a Tavern, and it's a good send-off. For the rest of your day. In a tavern, it's no use, he says. She's left me. This is after several drinks. It's as if he had said, you know, Van Gogh is my favorite painter. It's a dime store print he has added to his collection. He's been waiting all evening to show it to me. He doesn't even see it. To him, it's an incredible landscape. Empty. It's a desert. My life is empty. He likes the simplicity. My life is empty. She won't come back. It's a landmark. Like the blue mountains in the distance that never change. The crust of sand gives way with each step, and tiny lizards skitter out of the way. Even after walking all day, there's no change in the horizon. We're lost, he says. No, I say, let's go on. He says, you go on. Take my canteen. You've got a reason to live. No, I say. We're in this together. And we'll both make it out of here. Thank you for joining me today on the Poetry Show. And we'll be podcasting it up a little bit later. But I hope you... felt slightly innervated, at least, by some of the associations and some of the poetry. Take care. It's late, but everything comes next.